We're going to look at the subject of Jesus our Savior this morning. Jesus our Savior. And if you go to 1 John in the back of your Bible, we're going to look in chapter 4 of 1 John. And beginning in verse 14, we read, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, why does the world need a Savior? That's a good question. Because depending on what part of the world you live in and the environment you grew up in, you may not think that the world needs a Savior or is in need of saving. And in some other parts, you may think it very well does need one. So we want to go to Genesis chapter 1, and we want to begin to track through the Word of God why 1 John 4 states that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. In Genesis chapter 1, the record of creation and how God began to put things back together and created some things, you can read. But when we get to verse 31, the verse kind of summarizes God's actions. And it says, "And God saw that everything he had made, and behold, it was very good." Genesis 1:31. "And the evening and the morning were" what? So up until this point, God saw everything that he made, and God's opinion of what he did was that it was very good, very good. So here in Genesis 1, we have no indication of any problem of any kind, because the declaration of God's word is that the condition of the world and everything that God made was very good. Verse 26 of Genesis 1 gives us some more information. And it goes on and it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Still, with the information we receive, no need of a Savior here. God went as far as to create man and woman in his own image, according to verse 26, and then it's repeated in verse 27. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, you don't have to go there. In verse 24, the Bible says that God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The word "a" is not italicized in the King James Version. When you read an italicized word in the King James Version, it's there to show you that it's not in the original text, that it was added by the translators. And they thus put it in italics to show you that. However, that is not consistent throughout the King James Version, because there's a lot of times you'll read a word that is not italicized in the King James Version that does not appear in the text. It was either a deliberate forgery or just an oversight when they did the version. Here, the word "a," the indefinite article "a," does not appear in the Greek. And thus, the translation of the word in the English is not there. There is no indefinite article "a" in the Greek, making it read, "God is spirit." God is spirit. God originally created man and women and woman as spirit beings. Being spirit, being created with spirit, being created as a spirit being, Adam and Eve would be able to relate to and have access to God because they had spirit. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 7, the scripture goes on and it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." God formed man out of the dust of the ground. He formed the physical part of man. The physical part of man is his what? It's his body. The physical part of a woman is her body. God also, after forming the physical body of man, it says that God also breathed into man the breath of life, and then man became what? A living soul. A living soul. He formed man. It's kind of like a robot. If you ever saw Lost in Space, I used to watch that when I was little, and they had this robot, and the robot had what was called a power pack in the back of him. And if they took the power pack out, the robot would be standing there talking 1 minute, and then the next minute he'd hump on over. God formed man. He had man there, but man was not animated yet. Now, after he was done forming man, that power pack, that which animated man, that which made man, his thoughts, his emotions, which gave him the power to move around and be a living being, was the breath life that God breathed into man. What's the scripture say? It says, "And breathe into his nostrils the what? Breath of life, and man became a living soul." It's kind of like when you plug that power pack in that robot and he goes like this. It does not compute for most people. But that's what happened. Now man is a living soul. You see, that breath life and all that entails is that which is able to animate a person, give them the power that they need to move around. He became a living soul. So in addition to the spirit of God, man not only had spirit, man had a body, and man also had a what? A soul. Thus, man was originally created as a threefold being. Originally, he was created body, soul, and what? Spirit. Now, to understand the term soul a little bit more fully, we want to look at another passage that speaks of a person's soul in the book of Genesis. And you can take your Bibles and go to Genesis 35. And we're considering soul and trying to understand what this means. We're talking about Rachel here giving childbirth to her last son that was to be born. And she perished during this period of time, a little bit after she actually gave birth. In verse 18 of Genesis 35, it says, "And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she what? Died, that she called his name Benoni. But his father called him what? Benjamin." Here, Rachel is dying. Look at the scripture. It says, "As her soul was departing." Then it says, "For she what?" When she died, her soul would depart. When she died, she would no longer have any breath in her. As her soul was departing, as her breath was leaving, she's dead. So the soul dies upon the death of the person. It leaves, it departs, it's dead. We saw from Genesis 2, verse 7, that man became a living soul when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of what? Putting these two records together, we see there is a correspondence between breath and soul life in a man and woman. People become living souls when they breathe. And when they stop breathing, their soul departs from them. The body and soul in a person, gives that person access to and allows them to relate to the physical world. A body and soul in a person gives that person access to and allows them to relate to the physical world. It allows them to get up in the morning. It allows them to enjoy music. It allows them to watch TV, to eat, to go on a picnic, to enjoy the flowers, to talk to one another, to have fellowship with one another. This is the world. And the body and soul relates to the world. That's why God gave it to us, so we could enjoy and relate to the world. The spirit, however, in a person gives that person access to and allows them to relate to God, who is spirit. Body and soul for the world, the spirit access to and relates to God. Now, depending on who you read and what type of background they're from, some have suggested that the words soul and spirit are synonymous. They're the same here in Genesis chapter 1. It's talking about the same thing. However, the Word of God goes to great lengths to make a distinction between these two terms, soul and spirit. Take your Bibles and look at Hebrews chapter 4, please. Hebrews 4. So when her soul departed, she died. She'd have no more breath life in her. You heard the phrase and hear it even to this day, he took his last breath, meaning that he died. His soul was gone. There's no more movement in that body. Can't get up, can't eat, can't enjoy anything, this sort of thing. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You cannot have soul and spirit be the same in this verse any more than you can have joints and marrow be the same in this verse. There's a division between the two because they're different, two different things. The New American Bible translates it, indeed the Word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. See, there's a difference. It's able to separate them. You don't take a cake and go, it's still the same cake, you understand? If there's a cake here and there's a pie here, there's a difference. They're closely related, but they are different. Soul is soul, spirit is spirit. Joints are joints, marrow is marrow. So man was originally created as body, as soul, and as spirit. Now what else did God do for man when he created him? Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Because we want to look at the subject of Jesus our Savior. And so far, we see that what God did very good. In Genesis 1, verse 28, it says, and God blessed them, talking about man and woman, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Mankind was to have dominion. They were superior to the animals. They were also superior to every living thing that moveth upon the what? Moveth upon the earth. Listen. Did you hear what I said? They were have dominion. They were superior. Was Satan something that moved upon the face of the earth? When mankind was originally formed, made, and created, Mankind had dominion, and mankind was superior to who? Satan, sure. Look at verse 29. And God said, behold, I give you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were of the sixth day. Adam and Eve were body, soul, and spirit. They also had dominion over every living thing upon the earth. The environment that was created for mankind, according to the scripture, was good. It was what? Very good. Very good. It was a friendly environment. You understand? No need of a savior here. The trees were friendly. The animals were friendly. The weather was friendly. The neighbors were friendly when they had neighbors. Today, it sounds a little different from the state of mankind's condition and environment. In Omaha, Nebraska, more than a dozen possible tornadoes were reported Saturday, this is yesterday, as forecasters warned residents across the nation's midsection to brace for life-threatening weather. No life-threatening weather in the garden. Prostitution scandal. Five members of the United States military accused of misconduct at the same hotel that the Secret Service were abiding in. Florida says they execute a serial killer after 28 years. 28 years, serial killer. Former Missouri Governor Roger Wilson pled guilty Thursday in federal court to a misdemeanor count of laundering $5,000 in campaign donations to the Democratic Party through a St. Louis law firm. Okay. The environment that we live in today, not very good so much anymore. You know, I didn't have a hard time finding examples of these either. All you got to do is go on AOL and just read the first 10 things on the page because they're all negative. New Arizona law bans abortion after 19 weeks. Montana Supreme Court will hear arguments by six gay couples seeking the same legal benefits as married couples. The State Department of Education put New Jersey's most troubled schools on notice Wednesday, ordering administrators and educators to cooperate with state interventions and improve student performance or face serious consequences. Ain't that wonderful? Now we're going to blame the teachers for the students, when it's the parents' job who don't raise them upright. And we're going to give them to the teachers and say, fix my child, and if not, make them pass anyway. Wonderful world we live in, huh? The problem of prescription drug abuse continues to grow and is becoming more evident every day. I couldn't leave us all out. Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. A judge has refused to throw out child sex abuse charges against former Penn State assistants football coach Jerry, and they all said Sandusky. Now, today, we read some of these things, we got a problem. Now we could see the world is in need of what? A Savior. Genesis chapter 2. Now, in the beginning, when God did all these things and he gave mankind these wonderful rights and privileges, he also gave man instruction. And in verse 16 of chapter 2, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God said, in the very day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. You shall surely die. In other words, death would be immediate if they disobeyed God. God gave mankind dominion, and he gave them a good environment to live in. He also gave them the freedom of choice to eat whatever they wanted, with one exception. They were not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God gave mankind free will. They could choose to obey, or they could choose to transgress God's commandment. If they would obey, the word teaches us that blessings follow obedience. If they want to transgress it, the word teaches us that consequences, curses, follow disobedience. And people go through their lives bucking God, continually disobeying God, breaking his commandment, and wonder why they can't accomplish the things that they should be able to accomplish in their lifetime. They shoot themselves in the foot. If life is spiritual, and if there is a God, and if his laws and rules, which are spiritual, have blessings and consequences, then it would behoove us to put ourselves in a position where we would be on the obedient side of God so we can receive the blessings, instead of walking around acting goofy, doing what we damn well please, and then yapping to everybody why things aren't going right to us. Sometimes the reason why things aren't going right is because we bring it upon ourselves because of our blatant disobedience and disrespect for our God. It's a law. You understand? And if you break the law, it doesn't matter if you smile when you break the law. It doesn't matter if you joke about it when you break the law. It doesn't matter if you discount it as not a law. The law has consequences. There's a cause and effect for life. Genesis 3, verse 1. God said you can do this, this, and this. Just don't do that. Why is it you can tell a child, go in the backyard, do whatever you want, just don't go near the hay that's on top of the new grass seed I just planted? And there's a swing set back there, and there's trees back there, and there's a cabin, and there's a swimming pool, and there's a driveway with big wheels in it. And you know what that kid will go and do? He'll go and take a shovel and start digging in the hay on the grass seed you just planted and come in with a mud ball and say, oh, look what I did. See, that's kind of what God did with Adam. He said, do whatever you want, Adam. Go wherever you want. Stay up as late as you want, Adam. Eat whatever you want. Just see that tree over there? Don't eat of the tree. He didn't say don't touch it. That's what the devil said. He said, don't eat of the tree. Because in the day that you eat thereof, in that very day, you shall what? Genesis comes along, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made, and said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now I read to you earlier that at this point, Adam and Eve had dominion over everything that creeps upon the face of the earth. So did Adam and Eve have dominion? Or in this particular case, did Eve have dominion over the serpent? Yes. Yes, she did. But the devil had a lie to her. I taught you Thursday nights the lies we believe. And I taught you that there's no power, the devil has no power in our life unless he can get you to believe the lie. Now he's bluffing her. He's getting her to believe a lie. And watch what happens. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat it. Period. That's what God said. And the rest of it, she added. Neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. God never said that. He said, you shall not eat it, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall what? Surely die. So the woman changes the word around. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. There it is. Now, who's she going to believe? For God doth know in the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, you know, she never considered the tree good for food until she was deceived by the adversary. It's the same way in church. You know, you get someone whispering in your ear, oh, this is wonderful, this is wonderful, was this wonderful? And then you get to begin to consider it, and then you're gone. No more for you. As long as your mind was in control, and as long as you stayed on the Word of God, you were safe. But when you begin to listen, you begin to consider, That's when the adversary is able to work. It was good for food, and that was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he what? He did what he shouldn't have done. He ate. God said, thou shalt surely die, Genesis 2:17. The devil said, you shall not surely die, Genesis 3:4. Eve believed the devil and ate of the tree and then gave to her husband, and he ate what? Also. Now we need a Savior. Up until this point, everything was fine. Environment, friendly animals, friendly neighbors, everything was fine. The devil got involved, lied to her, and all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. To understand, because, you know, Genesis 3 doesn't end there. Genesis 4 goes on and starts to recount what? The baby. Two babies, right? Cain and Abel, you know the story. So, Adam's still moving around. Adam's having children. Dead people don't have children. You understand? So in order to understand how they died, and in that day, the Word of God says, in that very day, you shall surely die. Well, you got to consider some other records from the Word of God. Look at Genesis chapter 5, please. Genesis 5, and this is where people get confused because they say, God said you'll die, and look, they lived, they had Cain and Abel, etc. Just because they don't understand the word. In Genesis 5 and verse 3, it says, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Cain and Abel weren't the only kids that Adam had. He begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he what? And he died. Putting this together, we see that Adam lived 800 years after the birth of Seth. Thus, Adam still had a breathing body and a living soul for over 800 years after he disobeyed God and ate from the tree. See it? As a matter of fact, all of Adam's children were born after they ate from the tree. Then how did Adam die after he disobeyed God? He must have lost his spirit, that part of man that allowed him to relate to God. The Spirit of God also gave Adam access to God. But now that spirit was gone. That spirit was dead. And when something is dead, it's dead. There's no life in it at all. Ecclesiastes 9, in verse 5, it says, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not how much? Anything. The dead know not anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, their envy is now what? Perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. You see, when you're dead. No more portion, no more nothing. God said to Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die. Thou shalt surely die. Adam still had a breathing body. Adam still had a living soul. The part that Adam, in Adam that died, was the part that God created him in. It says that he created him in his own image. That the image of God was what? Spirit. Look at Genesis 5 again, verse 3. Carefully. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own image, after his likeness, and called his name what? You see, according to Genesis 5:3, Adam begat a son in his own likeness and his image. Thus, Adam's son, who was in Adam's likeness and Adam's image, would be body and what? Soul. Because Adam was originally created in the image of who? God. And according to John 4:24, God is what? Spirit. But now we see that the children being born to Adam are created in Adam's image. It's no longer body, soul, and spirit. It is now just what? Body and soul, because that's all Adam had to offer. That's all he could give. That's all he could reproduce. Look at Romans chapter 5, please, as we begin to close this. So you see now that man is born twofold, where he was originally created threefold. What was it that died in the day that Adam and Eve transgressed the commandment of God? It was the Spirit of God. It was that spirit. That is what died. And if it died, what does it mean? It was gone. It was no more. It was not available anymore. And it had nothing to do with any part under those things done on earth. That's what the scripture says. Nothing. It's dead. Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have what? Verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. The one man who caused sin to enter into the world was Adam. Now, by that sin of that one man, death entered into the world. And according to verse 12, death is spoken of as having passed upon all people. And it adds, for all have sinned. Although people who were born after Adam had breathing bodies and living souls, the death brought about by Adam, the loss of spirit, passed upon all people. The spirit that Adam must have had, the spirit, it was created in God's own image, the spirit of God, that spirit must have been life of some type. It was a living spirit. It was alive. Such that without it, people would have been considered dead, as it states in Romans 5, verses 12 through 14. Born dead in trespasses and sin. Why? The death, the spirit, it's not there. It's not there. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 now. So man now was separated from God. Man now was in the need of a Savior. The world suffered also the consequences of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. When you start to read in chapter 4 of the book of Genesis, you see now that the ground is not ideal. You see that it's not plush and lush and going to produce all these wonderful things. But God says, in the sweat of thy face with thorns and thistles shall you work. And to be able to make a living just to eke out food for yourself. You also see that a woman now would have a child, and when the child would be born, it would be in labor and travail. It was not God's original plan. These all came as part of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. We saw that that Spirit of God was created in Adam. We saw that the body of man was formed, and we saw that God breathed into the nostrils of Adam the breath of what? Breath of life. The man's body and the man's soul gave man access to and allowed him to relate to the things of the world. The plants, the trees, communication, this sort of thing. We saw that the Spirit of God gave Adam and Eve access to and allowed them to relate to God in perfect fellowship. Once that Spirit was gone, it's talked about as being dead, gone. Back in Ephesians now, we see in verse 18 of chapter 2, "For through him," talking about Jesus Christ, "we both have access by" what? "One Spirit unto" who? This is the new birth Spirit now. Okay? It's the new birth Spirit. It is not the Spirit that God gave Adam and Eve. Now listen to me. It cannot be the Spirit that God gave Adam and Eve. Why can't it be the Spirit that God gave Adam and Eve? Because that Spirit, what? It died. That's exactly right. It's dead. The Spirit now that God gives us is given to us by what? Seed. By seed. And once we receive it by faith, it can what? Never die. Never die. We don't have time to go into the distinctions of the Old Testament Spirit and the new Spirit birth and the new Spirit that was given us on the day of Pentecost, but we can. But one of those great distinctions was the Spirit was upon them in the Old Testament, and thus being upon them, it could be what? Removed according to their obedience of the Word of God. We see that in Genesis chapter 3. But in our day and in our time, and the accomplishments of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam, the Spirit that he came to make available to us on the day of Pentecost, thus forward in the administration in which we live, the administration of grace, the church, is a new Spirit. Never before given. It's a new Spirit with more power, with more operations, with more trinkets and toys and tools called manifestations to be able to work with. You understand? It's a different Spirit. This is a new and improved Spirit. It's not the same Spirit that Adam had, because that Spirit that Adam had, what? It died. For in that day, thou shalt surely die. This now sets the stage for the reason we need a Savior. And now we can move ahead and begin to see those things that Jesus Christ accomplished so he'd be able to reunite us, bring us back together, reconcile us back to our Heavenly Father, whose original intention for us is that we would be body, soul, and spirit, and that we would have dominion over this world. So, Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the great truths in it, and that we can continue to work these things, to apply them to our lives, and we can act as your children with respect for you and one another. We thank you for this in the wonderful, wonderful name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, let's sing a...